It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let me give you just a few announcements, and then we're going to get ready to worship. I hope you came this morning with hearts prepared and ready to worship our Lord and Savior. Let me just tell you this before we do get started. Do you realize that you are the choir of God? I want to make sure that you know that. What I mean by that is that when we do worship this morning, we come together and we're singing. Everything that we are singing is to the Lord. And so I want you this morning to sing to the Lord. Don't worry about someone on your right or your left. I want you to escape in God's presence. And I want you to sing to Him as the heavenly choir to the Lord. Let me go over just a few announcements. Our annual Mother's Day brunch will be held on Saturday, May the 13th at 10 a.m. Our guest speaker will be Dr. Mary Foley, Executive Director of the Merriman House Domestic Crisis Center. Please sign up at the welcome desk, okay? And sign up all your family too, and your friends and all that. So it's a Mother's Day brunch. Have a good time. Brother Kenny is currently planning a trip to the Ark Encounter for children, kindergarten through the sixth grade. Please sign up in the children's church room as soon as possible. See Brother Kenny or Tori Burnett if you would like to go to the Ark Encounter. From now until May the 24th, we are holding a church-wide new box fan drive. We'll be collecting new box fans for monetary donations to purchase new fans to be donated to the city of Brookport to distribute to residents who need them for the coming hot days ahead. So if you would just purchase a box fan or two or three or four, bring it here and we'll get those distributed to those who need it. VBS registration is now open. Scan the QR code in the bulletin to register the kids early to guarantee and receive a free Vacation Bible School shirt. And let me just say this too. Nick and Joy, next Sunday at 3 o'clock, are going to unite in marriage. And so I was talking to Joy a little while ago, and there's a lot of family that's going to be there. But she also said your family, so if you wanted to be there, you are welcome, she said, at 3 o'clock next Sunday. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Oh, you got an announcement too, right? Yeah, come on up here. This is Caleb.
I'll just talk loud. May 13th at 2 p.m., 2 to 6 p.m., we will be having a Capture the Flag Day. Just a time for the students to come out and play Capture the Flag. We use the entire facility. It's a ton of fun. The kids really loved it last time we did it, and so they've been begging me to do it again. So May 13th, that is after the brunch. I made sure that we're not going to be messing with the brunch, but 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., Capture the Flag.
Let's pray together, and let's stand together. Father God, thank you for this wonderful day. We come to you now knowing that, God, your word speaks loud and clear. And Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege and opportunity to be able to gather as the people of God, to be able to worship you as our Lord and our Savior. And Father, let us never take for granted the little things in life. Lord, even this morning, Father, to our right, to our left, in front of us, behind us, Lord, we have people all around us, Lord. And Father, thank you for those blessings. The blessing of a spouse that's next to us. The blessing of children, of grandchildren. To hear the laughter, to hear the cries. Lord, we just ask that you fill this place up with your presence, with your people, Lord. Father, we love to hear babies. We love to hear them. Lord, that just shows that a church is alive. And so, Father, grow your church according to your will. Let us now sing unto you a new song. Father, let us sing as the choir of God sings directly to you, thanking you for the salvation that we have in your Son, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing, church.
Our longing and our life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, He the perfect Son of Man, in His living, in His suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true beauty, to find you. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. And thousands elsewhere. Amen. Ain't God good? I think Kenny's going to bring the kids here in just a minute. And as he's doing that, I'd like to read from Psalm 24. Our choir is about to grow. Yeah, come on in. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Christ, the true and better Adam, has clean hands and a pure heart. And he is the only one that could stand in our place. And that's why we can sing along with Psalm 24. We can sing this song, King of Glory. So let's continue to worship in spirit and in truth. Who is this King of glory that pursues me with his love and haunts me with each hearing of his softly spoken words? My conscience a reminder of forgiveness that I need. Who is this King of glory who offers it to me? Who is this King of angels? Oh, blessed Prince of ever longing for his grace in which to stand. Who is this King of glory, Son of God and Son of King of glory. Lord of earth and heaven, the creator of all things. He is the King of glory. He's everything to me. King of my heart, the King of glory. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of
be seated for a moment. Before we do get started, I'm going to ask Mike and Kelly just to stand up just for a moment. This is Mike and Kelly Jacobs, and they gave their life to Jesus Christ, and they're following in believers' baptism at the end of the service. So if we have a motion for them to be baptized, would you just raise? We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor, raise your right hand. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord. Wow, God is so good. Hey, if we could have our ushers come now as we worship with our tithes and offerings, and we already see who our special is going to be this morning with these young ones. What a blessing it is. I love to hear them talk. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father God, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for the privilege to be able to give to you, Lord. Father, you have blessed us beyond measure. And Father, we can't outgive you, Lord. You own cattle on a thousand hills. And Father, we pray that this offering will be used for the furtherance of your kingdom, Lord. Use it as you would see fit and bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah. Hater waving at you. There you go. Give them a hand. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kenny. I am wound for sound right now, okay? So there's no telling how long we're going. If that don't energize you, something's wrong. Your battery's dead. You know what I mean? All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5. Hey, come on up here. Yeah, I got ahead of myself. I am wound up, man. Come on, yes. Yeah. You may be seated. Acts chapter 5, of course. And we're going to cover a lot of ground this morning. I'd asked for him to read 12 through 16, but we're going to cover all the way down through verse 42. And so there's a lot here to unpack. Yesterday I had the wonderful privilege of being able to speak at Hardin Baptist Church at the Touch of Love Ministries. The Touch of Love Ministries is a ministry that reaches to your senior season saints. And it's those who are going through some difficult times and some hard times. And so they asked me to speak on the topic of joy. And I thought, man, that is the greatest topic on the face of the earth, to be able to speak about joy. And that's something that I so love and so desire, is that the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is in my heart. And so for this whole month and a half, I have been gearing up and ready to preach about joy. And so when I get there, Cammie and I went, I get there, and there's a lady that I known from back in the day that came to me, and she said, "I need to talk to you." This was before anything ever got going and all of that. And she said, "I just need to tell you, would you pray for my child?" She's older now, been married and has kids and grandkids, but she's an older lady, of course. And she said, "Would you pray for so-and-so, that they're going through a really hard time right now and gone through some physical abuse?" And began to share this story with me, and she's just breaking down in tears, and I'm holding her around the arms there, and I'm saying, "I'll definitely be praying for you. I can't imagine what that is like, going through that as a mother, to a mother of children, of grandchildren, and going through a really difficult time and all of that." And we spent some time talking, and then another lady comes up to me, and she hadn't been out since start of COVID. She's been diagnosed with cancer, and she's so frail now and so little, but she wanted to come to this because this is a group of individuals and people that have been ministering to her through this whole time as she battled cancer, and she was so weak, and she said, "I just had to be here," and she was going through all of this, and then another come to me, started sharing their story, and it's, all this is before everything started, and I'm preaching on the topic of joy. And I'm getting all these things of so many difficult moments in their life. And I remember just this phrase that this guy said. His name was Mike Tyson. He was analyzing two boxers that were going to be boxing, and both of these boxers were sharing their game plan of what they were going to do during this match and all of that. And one announcer looked to Tyson and says, "What do you think about the game plan that this boxer says?" He says, "You know, all of that is fine and well. And all of that is good until you get punched in the face. And then the whole game plan gets thrown out. You see, I was thinking about that topic of joy and how everything goes well until you get a punch in the gut. Until you get hit in the face with life. Until you go through a difficult time in your life. Everything may be going well, and then all of a sudden life hits you in the stomach. Bends you over. And the next thing you know, over the next months or maybe years, you're going through a time in your life that you just don't know how much more that you can even handle. As a matter of fact, yes, you have Christ in your life, but man, that joy just that once was there is not there now. Why? Because there's also these things called joy killers. There's these things that want to rob you of your joy of who you are in Christ Jesus. And sometimes those things can come out of nowhere, and sometimes those things can come as a curveball and you never saw it coming. And then now you're dealing with something maybe in your family that you thought that you would have never had to deal with. It could be a sickness. It could be financial. It could be whatever it is that you're going through this and you never saw it coming. And you remember the joy that you had and you say, oh, I wish I had that still. I wish I could still have that. Can I just encourage you? You're going to smile again. You see, God is faithful. God is good. And we're going to see this in this passage of Scripture. Because over the past few weeks, we've been looking at, and the title of this message is Blessings in Opposition. Blessing in Persecution. You see, we don't have to look far to see blessings in our life, right? If we're not careful, we get distracted and look at the things in our life that's robbing us of our joy in Christ. The things that are around us. And we get our eyes off of the main thing, which is Christ Jesus. And so when we are going through this passage of Scripture, I want you to know that as you walk with the Lord, there's going to be opposition. As you walk with the Lord, there's going to be persecution in your life. Can I ask you another question? What kind of Christian do you want to be? You know, as I was driving in this morning, I was thinking about my life. I don't know where I'm at in my life. You know, I'm 53 years old, I think. And so I'm kind of in that middle thing, and I'm thinking about the blessings in my life, and I'm thinking about my family, my kids, my grandkids, and how time has just flown by. And I think about my church family. I think about all of you all and how you all have blessed me beyond measure and how you have been instrumental in my growth. And I hope that in some way that I have been instrumental in your growth. And so I want to ask you a question. What kind of Christian do you want to be? And you think, well, what kind of question is that? Well, I got to thinking that I want to be a tender Christian. I want to be a Christian that's full of grace and mercy. I don't want to be a tough Christian. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, have you ever had a tough steak? You think, man, you can hardly chew this thing. It's so tough. Or a tough piece of chicken or something that's tough and all of that. You know, this world, there's too many people who are tough. And what we need in our life and what people need on the outside is that they need to see genuine Christianity that's full of grace and mercy, that's tender-hearted, that's always seeing their need for Christ. I want to be a Christian that's more loving than judgmental. I want to be gentle. You ever seen that show, Grumpy Old Men? I mean, just two men's gotten old together and they're just grumpy all the time. Have you ever seen that grumpy person all the time? I mean, they're like, I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I want to be that Christian that smiles, that laughs, that's fun to be around. I don't want to be around that grumpy old Christian. I want to be around someone who's full of love. Who's tender-hearted and full of grace. So I ask you that question to really examine and evaluate, what kind of believer am I? What do people see in me? What are they noticing in my life? Do they see the joy of the Lord in my life? I want us to see that over the past few weeks, we've been unfolding the book of Acts. And the book of Acts was when the church started, when it began to blossom, it began to bloom. And you're seeing that God is adding to their number daily. And we must remember that we're learning about the ongoing history of the church. And what I mean by ongoing is it's still unfolding. You and I are a part of this day and age of the church unfolding, just like we read about the saints of old and Peter and John and all of them. And now we're at this stage in our life, and there's going to come a time 100, 200, 300 years from now, guess what? We're gone. How are you and I going to be remembered? I hope that more than anything that we're remembered by our love for Christ, by our joy in Christ, by our boldness to witness, just as we're reading about these men and these women who stood up for the truth of God's Word. So when we look at blessings and persecution, there's three things that I ask you to write down this morning. And then I'm going to ask you to study it this week, okay? Because there's so much that I can't get through. So please write these down. And I want you to, this is your Bible study for this week, okay? Acts 5, 12 through 42. So the first thing that we see here is that gospel ministry enriches the brokenhearted. Gospel ministry enriches the brokenhearted. It says in verse 12 through 16, let's read that again. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. And let me just set this up just a little bit, because last week we come off of a chapter where God killed two liars, Ananias and Sapphira. They lied not only to people, but they lied to the Holy Spirit. If you don't think God doesn't take sin seriously, you look at Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to God. Ananias lied to God. There was people at his door. He dropped dead. They carried him out. They buried him. They come back and ask his wife, "Did you all give everything?" "Yes, we did." You know what happened? The feet of the ones who carried your husband off are at your door, and they're getting ready to carry you off. I mean, that's serious stuff. Sometimes we want to minimize sin and we want to minimize things and think, well, God just looks over that. There is no way that God can look over sin, because His Son died on the cross for the sins of the world, all of our sins. And so as we see this and as we go through this, there is great fear that's taken place in the town. Verse 14, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Verse 16, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick. And I circled this word "and." Bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Not some of them were healed, but all of them were healed. We're still seeing a great moving of God. So the gospel ministry enriches the brokenhearted. So who receives the blessings of the gospel ministry? It's those who know they need it. It's those who know that they need it. That you come into these doors this morning knowing that you need Jesus Christ. That you can't make it without Him. That you need Him every step of the way. As a matter of fact, many of you would tell me, "I wouldn't be where I am if it weren't for Jesus. He has helped me through the most difficult times of my life." And we see in Matthew 5, 3, look what it says. Blessed are the, what? Poor in spirit. Not talking about physically poor, but talking about spiritually poor and in need. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So who receives the benefits of Jesus' grace and power? It's those who were humble. It's those who were poor in spirit. And it's those who were desperate. We see this in Acts chapter 5 too. And so what is happening here in Acts chapter 5 is the same thing that even happens even today. The humble in verse 14 are being saved. The humble are being saved. It doesn't say that it's the pride that are being saved. It's the humble that are being saved. It's those who see their need for Christ. Sometimes we think that we can handle things on our own. And sometimes we try to handle things on our own. As a matter of fact, maybe you've been taught all your life to handle things on your own. But the Bible tells us to come to God humbly and seeing your need for Him. You and I can't do anything without Christ, much less save ourselves. God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He stepped in our place and He died a death that was meant for each one of us. And we're seeing a people here in Acts 5 who were coming because of the Word of God that was being preached. And they weren't afraid anymore of what anybody thought. They humbly came and said, you know what? I need Jesus Christ. I'm tired of trying to fix things on my own. How many of you have been trying to fix the situation that you're in? Maybe it's a health issue, and you've done everything to try to fix it. Maybe it's a marriage, and you've done everything to try to fix it. Maybe it's a broken relationship, and you have done everything to try to fix it. And nothing seems to work. It won't, as long as you keep trying to do it yourself. And as long as you keep trying to do it yourself, God will say, keep on trying to do it yourself. And there will come a time in your life that you are so tired of trying to do it yourself, trying to fix it yourself, that you come to the Lord broken in spirit and asking God, I can't do it, God. No longer can I do this. And I'm asking you to step in. But what happens in between there is this thing called pride that keeps welling up saying you can do it. And I want you to listen to your preacher today. And I want you to listen to your friend and to your brother. You can't. You have to have Jesus. And so you ask the Lord and you come broken. Maybe here in a little while when we have an invitation, there's something on your heart, there's something on your mind, there's something troubling you, there's something keeping you from where you need to be. You know where you need to be? Right here at this altar. Because there's something going on with your life, there's something going on with your family, there's something going on with your work, and the greatest place to be is to lay it right here. Lay it at the feet of Jesus and give it to Him. Don't take it back up again. Give it to Him, because a lot of times we do that too. We give it to Jesus and we take it back. And what we want to do is we want to help Jesus. We want to help Jesus with our situation. We want to say we don't fully trust Jesus with it. Let me go with you, Jesus, and let me tell you about what's going on. And let me just give you my thoughts on what's going on, Lord. And if you need my advice, I'll help you here, God. And what we want to do is we want to help God with the situation we've got. And we've been able to help ourselves with it. You see, God already knows the situation. Long before it ever even happened to you. Long before you ever even dealt with it. What God wants you to know is your need for Him. And you come to Him with brokenness, with everything you have, and you lay it right here at the altar and say, God, I can't fix it. And you know what? He's been waiting for some of you for a long time. You've just been holding on to it. And you won't let it go. You see, we see here that these people that were coming humbly, and they were being saved. They were also coming humbly, and they were being healed. They were being healed in verse 15 and 16. Can you see this picture? They were laying them in the streets. They were laying them on mats. They were laying them on cots. And they were just trying to get in front of Peter that maybe, and Peter didn't have the power. Peter, their power was in Jesus. And they were laying them there and people were getting healed. Get this picture. Blind were seeing, lame were walking. And then all of a sudden it says, and those with evil spirits. You don't think evil doesn't exist? Oh, it does. You don't have to look far to see that evil exists. And those with evil spirits were tormented. They were coming to the streets, and all of a sudden, because of the power of God, they were healed. God can take your situation, and He can heal it. He can deliver you from the situation that you're in. So gospel ministry enriches the brokenhearted. Man, I don't know about you, but I am rich this morning because of Jesus. I may not, you can have nothing and be rich. You know what I mean? You could be flat broke with a nickel to your name and you have all that you need because of Jesus. Secondly, the gospel ministry enrages the prideful. It enrages the prideful. What keeps people from the gospel is pride. The opposite of pride is humility. The opposite of humility is pride. We know that pride goes before the fall. And what kind of pride is there? Well, there's intellectual pride. The gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. There are those out there in our world today that look at you and look at me and look at the gospel and look at the church and say, that is a foolish waste of time. How in the world would anybody spend their time on that? You know why? They say that is because of pride. Because they think that their way is the only way and they have all the right answers. You ever know someone to know it all? You don't look at anybody in here, okay? But it's that pride that goes before the fall, and there's that intellectual pride. And I just got news that one day they're going to know. And one day they're going to know that they were wrong. Because there is eternity. And you and I are going to spend eternity in one of two places. You're either going to spend it in hell because of what Jesus, and no, in heaven because of what Jesus did for you and you repent of that, or you'll spend it in hell because you never came to Christ because of your pride. One day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Whether your knee bows now or bows then may determine where you'll spend eternity forever and ever and ever. But one day everyone will know. The cross of Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing. So we see intellectual pride and then we see social pride. They don't want to risk public alienation. They don't want to damage their friendships or their relationships. Therefore, they keep them separate. Therefore, I don't want to. If I follow Jesus wholeheartedly, then I might get alienated. You see, Jesus isn't something you stick in the side of your refrigerator door that you use it when you need it. Jesus isn't something you put on a shelf and you stay right here until I need you. I got news for us. We need Him to get out of bed. We need Him to walk. We need Him to talk. We need Him to see. We need Him to hear. We need Him in every aspect of our life. And if you sit here today and you say, well, I don't believe that. I don't need that. You know what that is? It's called pride. You know how I know? Because I used to think that way. I used to think that way. Until God broke into my life. And let me just say this. God can humble you. Have you ever been humbled? Oh my goodness. You ever had your bubble busted? Can I share just a quick tidbit real quick? Is that okay, Jordan? Okay. 3 months into my salvation, 23 years old, called into ministry, I get asked to preach a revival. I think I did a good job. They gave me a suit. I probably did a terrible job, okay? And all of a sudden, people were patting me on the back. Boy, you just did good. Boy, my head was just going up a little bit. And then I get asked to preach at this church. I get to Smithland Baptist Church. I get asked to preach at Lola. I get asked to preach here. I get asked to preach here. And man, I think that I've arrived. I think I'm going to get into Revelation. 3 months. Just been saved. Called into ministry. I go to Sharp Missionary Baptist Church. Never forget it. God has such a hint sense of humor that I just moved away from there not too long ago. I went by that church every day. I go in there to preach on Revelation. I got up there and there was 25 babies crying. I'm sweating. Someone's hacking in the back. And I hear every sound and noise. And I mean, I'm not kidding you. I sweated profusely. I just got up there. I forgot everything that I had been trying to memorize. I got up there, I took my sermon, and I read it. And I got out of there as quick as I possibly can. I cried all the way home. My wife never said a word to me. She didn't have to. Because God was telling me, you do it on your own, that's what you get. Never again. I remember that to this very day, and it's almost been 30 years. God taught me a valuable lesson. When you try to do it on your own, I will let you. And we'll see how that works for you. It doesn't work. So now you come before the Lord humbly and say, God, I can't, you can. Simple prayer, I can't, you can. I can't, you can. God, I can't. I can't handle, I can't do my marriage. I can't, but I know you can. I can't fix this problem, but I know you can. It's coming before Him humbly and giving everything over to Him. And look what else. Where am I at? Okay, family pride. What brought about the jealousy? We see that the high priests and the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. Okay, let me say this too. Jealousy will destroy you. Jealousy will eat you up from the inside out. What brought about jealousy? Well, they were healing people. They were gaining popularity because of what God was doing. And the Sadducees and the chief priests and the Pharisees and all that, they were upset that people were getting saved. If you get upset that people are getting saved, something's wrong, right? I mean, we ought to rejoice. All of heaven rejoices when someone comes to know Christ Jesus. So they were healing people. You know what else they were doing? They were loving people. Are you loving people? Or are you choosing who you love? See, God's called us to love all people. Aren't you glad that Jesus loved all people? From every tribe and of every nation, of every tongue. One day we're going to get to worship with the world. With everyone. And they were sharing the good news with people. The apostles had more power than they had. And thirdly, and I'm closing, gospel ministry, you ready for this one? Energizes the believers. Gospel ministry energizes the believers. Look what it says in verse 41. Skip all the way down, okay? The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Now, let me just say, they were put in prison because they were winning people to Christ. And when they put them in prison, the angels let them out. And when they went back, the doors were still locked and they were out. And they were, you know where they were? They didn't run because they were put in prison. They were back in the colonnade, and they were what? They were teaching and preaching to the people. They wasn't going around saying that life isn't fair and all of this. They went back to doing what they were doing, and that was living faithful to the gospel, teaching and preaching the gospel. And now they've let them out. Verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus Christ. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Have you stopped preaching and teaching that Jesus is the Messiah? Have you stopped proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ? How did the apostles overcome the evil one? And how can we overcome the evil one? Well, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You see, they didn't love their lives so much that they shrunk from death. They didn't love their lives so much that they shrunk from persecution. As a matter of fact, it energized them. You know, the Apostle Paul was in prison in Philippians, and he says, what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. That amazes me to this day. Did that not amaze you just then? Can I say that one more time? He said, what has happened to me has served to advance the kingdom of God, that they preach more boldly because they put me in jail. It's kind of like this in a small roundabout way, okay? Sometimes coaches get technicals on purpose. What does it do? It energizes the team. Sometimes they do it to energize the team, to get them to go harder. Not that Paul did that to energize the team, but because of what happened, it energized the believers more and more, and they were ready to go. As a matter of fact, you put Paul in prison, we'll preach longer. We'll live harder for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We won't live a light Christianity. We'll live a weighty Christianity. And because of what you did, let me go. Gospel ministry energizes the believers. When I saw them kids come through that door, oh my gosh. Boom! I was immediately, if you weren't energized, something's wrong. When I seen them sing, I watched them. It energizes me. When I see ministries, when I come on Wednesday night and I come to have a fellowship meal with brothers and sisters in Christ, and I watch those kids and I watch those youth and I see you reading the scriptures, it energizes me. Because gospel ministry energizes the believer. You may have come through those doors this morning and your battery is on empty. How do you get energized? By plugging in to Christ. Plugging into ministry, plugging into the church, plugging into small groups, plugging into Bible studies. I was listening to you all this morning. I'm in that room next to you all. I hear your laughter. I hear the teaching. I was energized by that. Why? Because that's kingdom work. It's kingdom fellowship. Everything we do should be about the kingdom. Now, one more question and I'm done. I promise you. I said at the beginning, you know what? 100 years, 200 years, we're probably not going to be here, okay? If you're here in 200 years, I want to talk to you. But let's just be real. We're going to be gone. I'm sitting here reading Acts 5. I'm reading about these ones who are already gone. And it's been 2,000 years. And I'm reading about their life. And I'm reading about their faithfulness. So if somebody reads about your life, what would that story say? You see, what we don't want is when they read it, they read about me more than what they read in me that points to everything about Christ. I want everyone to see Christ. I want everything in my life to point to Jesus. Everything. You know why? Because He alone is worthy of our worship and our praise. You're leaving a legacy. Leave it for the glory of God, for His kingdom. And that should energize you. Right now, I'm going to give an invitation, and you know what? There's someone you need to pray for. But you know what's going to keep people in their pews? Pride. You know you have someone it's on heavy on your heart. Pride and fear. Or maybe you just need to come to this altar and you need to give that to God, over to Him that you've been holding on to, or maybe that you've given Him but taken up 20 times. And you keep taking it back. And you just need to come and you need to leave it at the cross. You need to leave it at His feet. You need to give it over to Him. I believe that God can heal you. I believe that God can deliver you. I believe it wholeheartedly. He loves you. Father, I've said all I know to say. I've delivered all I know to deliver. Lord, I hope that I have done You justice. I am nothing without You. I need You. Lord, I know that You are speaking to someone. Someone that's just barely hanging on. Father, they need to this morning just to come to this altar in a broken spirit and say, God, I can't, You can. And just give it to You. So, Lord, I ask that You heal the brokenhearted. That You deliver those who are going through a difficult situation. That You heal those who are hurting. And God, You would restore to them the joy of their salvation. Father, You're our deepest joy. And we love You. So Lord, now work in a way that only You can. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.
All of You,
sing it loud, church.
Is more than enough
for
all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with Your love, and all I more than enough. You are my supply, my breath of life, still more awesome than for every thirst and every need. You satisfy.
You may be seated. I'll give it just a few seconds. This is Kelly Jacobs. Kelly, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Kelly, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with him by baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen. 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 And this is her husband, Mike. Mike comes also on profession of faith in Lord Jesus. Mike, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Mike, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him by baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Amen. All right, can you hear me now? All right, what a glorious day it has been. I challenge you to continue studying this chapter that we talked about today. Write down some more notes. Continue growing in it. I believe God is doing something really amazing. Don't forget to be back here tonight at 5:30 for Bible study in the sanctuary. Also, we have grief share going on. We have youth and we have children going on as well. Come back tonight and grow with us. Do we have any more announcements, Caleb, that you know of? All right. Caleb, could you close us in prayer?